In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is bittersweet. It's the last day of the baseball season. So if your team is in last place, you can't wait for that final out. But if your team is the Nats, then you also can't wait for that final out, for the season to be done, because it's playoffs and it's October and the season starts and everything you've been doing leads up to this. Team chemistry, unity, morale, huge right about now. Psalm 133. How lovely this fellowship of those who dwell together. This is an important verse for us here today. For teams, but for us. In our epistle from Philippians, Paul picks up on this as he writes to the church in Philippi. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer recognized the importance of Christian fellowship when he wrote that the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. And we see this sentiment reflected throughout the scripture when Paul was imprisoned. He called for Timothy to come to him in the last days of his life so that he could physically see him. Remembering the congregation at Thessalonica, Paul prayed night and day that he might see their faces. The Apostle John knew that his joy would not be complete until he could come and speak to the people of the congregation face to face. And the writer to the Hebrews writes to his readers, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We often talk about fellowship and Christian love as pillars of our common experience in the church, and yet, if we're honest, it's an aspect as Christians that can be very difficult to put into practice. We steer away from each other, away from people that we don't know. We find ourselves drawn to those that look and think like we do. We allow sin to come between us and remain unreconciled. And the truth is that at more than any other time in history, we live in an isolated existence. The wonders of technology have created a culture where we can know what people are eating for breakfast, and yet for weeks and months we can go without a meaningful conversation. We can shop without talking to the clerk. We can find our destination on the planet without asking for directions. We can even listen to a sermon without passing through the doors of the church. We live at a time when we can truly be independent and self-reliant. And yet the spiritual impact of these false freedoms can be dangerous. In fact, God's word describes the implications, the isolating implications of sin. In Isaiah, we are told that your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. In Luke, when Jesus encountered a man possessed with an evil spirit, we are told that many times this demon had driven the man to solitary places. And even the devil himself is described by Peter as a roaring lion, looking to devour those who have been separated from the flock. The point is clear. Christianity is a community activity. It's a team sport. And throughout the Bible, we find the picture of the church that is highly relational. Listen to Luke's description of the church in Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know if the name Jonathan Martin rings a bell with you. How about Richie Incognito? In 2013, they dominated the headlines. They weren't playing very nice in the sandbox, you might say. Both were members of the Miami Dolphins. Both played on the offensive line. One was a bully, and he called the other a slur. And Jonathan Martin was so threatened, he quit the team for fear of his life. They forgot they were on the same team. Somebody didn't tell them. We're all in it together. In Philippians, we have two women, Euodia and Syntyche, who also were not getting along. Paul calls them out and says, "Listen, you two are forgetting the basic truth. We're all in it together. You and I, we were united the day we were baptized. That was the bridge that God uses to funnel all of his gifts to us. Baptism is so important because baptism unites us to Christ. Fellowship, or koinonia, means holding all things in common. Five times in the book of Philippians, Paul is teaching us that we are united with Christ. And in baptism, we are united with people. Many say, "I'll take the Jesus part, but not the people." Paul says, it's a package deal. Once we are baptized, you get Christ and you get people. In other words, we're all in it together. We all need greater unity, don't we? Whether in our society, in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplaces, or in this church. Paul says, look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Can you name the three greatest interests of your spouse, or your children, or your grandchildren, or your neighbors, or your fellow church members? Find out what these people are interested in and go there. Don't be like donkeys. When donkeys freak out, and see the enemy or danger, they circle around each other. They put their long faces out, and danger comes, and it closes in on them, and they start kicking each other. They kick themselves. We have financial problems, children problems, middle age problems, all kinds of problems. And so often we see the enemy coming, and we end up kicking each other. And we do it by arguing, complaining, griping, and criticizing. In his book, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes that God has put his word into the mouth of men in order that it may be communicated to other men. When one person is struck by the word, he speaks it to others. God has willed that we should seek and find his living word in the witness of a brother or sister, in the mouth of a man. Therefore, the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. For by himself he cannot help himself without belying the truth. He needs his brother or sister as a bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation. He needs his brother or sister solely because of Jesus Christ. The Christ in his heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of his brother or sister. His own heart is uncertain, but his brother's is sure. By the power of the gospel, we have been forgiven. By the power of the gospel, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting is our future. And by the power of the gospel, God has brought us into communion, the communion of saints, and made us members of his body, the church, and called us into a living, breathing, physical community. And he has promised that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also. Don't ever underestimate the spiritual impact of speaking a caring word or extending a hand of welcome in the name of Christ. For in the fellowship of the church, Christ is present. Paul reminds us that in baptism we have been united with Christ and we have fellowship in the Spirit. For full, free, forever forgiveness, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And it is from this cross that Jesus says, I love you with an everlasting love. And baptism connects us to him and to each other. It's a package deal. You get Jesus and you get people. Baptized into Jesus, united with him, we find out again that yes, we are all in it together. Learn it, love it, live it. In Jesus' name, amen.